domestic families rebuild their homes.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The time now is 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for EcoLogic coming up.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Yes, clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is EcoLogic for January 7th, our first show of 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
When mainstream media belittled anyone who cared about the trees that were killed as they destroyed East River Park, it motivated us to do this show.
Trees are important.
Our two guests today will tell us more.
First to introduce himself is EcoLogic Collective member, Tim.
Hi, I'm Tim Keating, and I am a former director of Rainforest Relief. I directed that organization for about 26 years, starting in 1990. Currently, chief consultant for EarthBuilt, a company I started in 2010.
And Paul?
Paul Mankiewicz. I'm a developmental biologist, ecologist. I got sick of doing lab work while the world was falling apart, started the Gaia Institute about 40 years back, and recently a company, Leaf Island.
Great. So why should we care about trees? Paul?
Trees literally make the atmosphere around us, but not only in that they produce oxygen, as Priestley showed, they also actually hold the air. You know to go under a tree on a hot day, but literally the wind itself is entrained, slowed, held in place, basically, so it doesn't freeze the passerine birds and the great hunters that pass through there. Basically, they are regulators of climate at multiple scales. And in a word, they make our life better.
Tim, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I would I would echo some of that. I think one of the big concerns right now is how trees are the ecological means by which carbon is sucked out of the atmosphere. There are a number of means that happens, but for the terrestrial ecosystem, trees are really the top method by which the planet regulates carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So, you know, at this point, every old tree we lose is a critical loss. So, and then I would also say, you know, when we think of if we do think of our relationship with nature, I would say I hear most often people refer to forests and trees, and this is something, this is a relationship that is at the core of our being and certainly our evolution, and something that unfortunately many of us in modern society take for granted.
I think you're touching on the major point about trees mitigating climate change, and we know it. We can talk about it on a global level, but even on a local level, the trees that were destroyed in New York City recently in East River Park. Kind of talk about how it more about how climate change can be mitigated.
Well, one of the things that's come out fairly recently, there was a very longstanding idea that young trees soak up more carbon than older trees, and this is something that I think was put out in a report. Just mentioned, it wasn't anything that was really heavily studied by the authors of the report, but it was kind of an assumption they made. Cut down nascent trees and plant new ones. And, you know, one of the things that these foresters observed is these very wide growth rings in young trees. And so therefore they must be putting on very large amounts of biomass. So this idea, this concept lasted for years, decades and decades.
Wow.
And allowed industries to make these points that, oh, we need to renew these forests so they will suck up more carbon. It turns out that the opposite is true. And a study in 2014, in fact, called the rate of tree carbon accumulation increases continuously with tree size, has shown definitively that as trees are growing, even though in some cases the number of or the size of leaves will decrease and things like that, overall the number of leaves grows, the biomass of the tree continues to grow. And actually another study showed that trees just grow forever. They don't have controls on, oh, you're big enough now, time to stop growing. They just keep growing as long as they're alive. And so they do put on way more carbon.
And Paul, your thoughts on that?
Well, not to be an ageist on younger or older trees, but as Tim says, the older trees are stunningly productive, but you're missing most of it just because you and I, we all are visual primates. We love to see what we can see, which is above grade. And what's in the air is great. So put one hand over the other, over the other, over the other, over the other, and you have a kind of area index. And trees multiply. They have about 5 layers, maybe 12, depending for Douglas firs, of leaves over their footprint. So this is radio. It's hard to imagine, but just imagine it's a multi-layer covering. It's something like fivefold for the above-grade landscape. It's something like 200-fold for the below-grade landscape. Mm. And if you count in the exquisite, let's call them neural cells of the biosphere, the mycorrhizal fungi, now you're looking at 2,000. And you're looking at something like, well, linear miles, something like 20 linear miles of fine roots below grade. And those are basically secreting these exquisite carbon molecules feeding a microbiome that surrounds them and basically mineralizes the soil and stores carbon in ways you don't even see. I appreciate the foresters trying to characterize these beautiful growth rings, and they're exquisite. They're, you know, these things are really doing something. But, of course, you know, we prefer to see it, and we can see that perfectly well. Try and see a root. Get something. And basically you have to dig to destroy it. So this is the point. Basically, we preferentially agree with what we can see simply, but that doesn't tell the story. And you have to, as Tim's indicating over a research framework, let the tree speak for herself.
And of course, what else is happening underground is that it's stopping erosion, all those roots.
Stopping erosion and running the planet. But yes, that's right. That's right. The ecosystem.
Okay. You know, Paul and Tim, this is such good information, and our listeners are hearing you now because WBAI is transmitting over the airwaves. Basic, right? It is our listener support of the transmitter tower that makes this possible. Listeners, please keep going to towerfund.wbai.org. And, you know, we need you guys. We need our experts to tell us more. Paul and Tim, you were interested in that Tower Fund pitch, right?
Paul, you want to go ahead?
Ecology works at multiple scales, as I've said this already, and I'll say it again. And we are, compared to a tree, you know, our chemistry is really minimal. So, you know, we have nothing like the exquisite biochemistry of photosynthesis or the rest. We're okay, you know, I'm not putting us down. It's not bio. But the other side of it is that basically a tree can only work where she stands. And the beautiful thing about broadcasting, and we can thank Tesla, really. Marconi gets the credit, but it was Tesla. It connects us across a broad range. And essentially, you cannot have democracy, as we have been told and shown again and again, without information. And now, without information, it basically can counter and cause arguments. There's nothing like an argument to make a difference, and you don't have it without broadcasting. So you got to have the tower.
Absolutely.
And I would just add that, you know, BAI has, over the years, been the only station in New York to provide the kinds of information that are critical today. And this is how they do it, is with broadcasting over this tower. So it really is critical for BAI, and BAI is critical for us, and I would say at this point, democracy as well.
So support WBAI and support the Tower Fund. It's www.towerfund.wbai.org, and go on with our program. All right.
And if you want to support the Tower Fund by phone, 212-209-2950.
Absolutely. It helps all our shows.
So, tell us more about the birds. We are very interested in the environment and the inclusion of all of its wildlife, and the birds are so dependent upon the trees. And what's going to happen with all the trees that are missing out of East River Park now, and where are the birds going to go and everything that they eat?
Well, the trees were, in a way, a signal. They told, there's about 200 and some passerine birds, like the little finch-like and sparrow-like and warbler-like birds, and they pass through here every year, 200 plus. It depends on where you're standing.
It's 200 species, not 200
species,
individuals.
Species. So, yeah, now you're looking at millions of, actually millions of, many millions of individuals, billions, depending on what height can. But basically, they basically don't have a map. Exactly. Some of them work with the electromagnetic field of the Earth, but they basically have to see a guide, and the guide tells them seeds, insects, basically edibles. and you take them down, like the trees, and then there's no soil there. And so who, why care about these, you know, 25-gram creatures? I mean, what can they possibly do? I'll summarize that. Basically, the warblers, when they get to the far north and they get there up the Hudson Flyway, among other ways, along the East River, Bronx River, and everything else, basically, they literally control the insects that would otherwise parasitize the northern forest and decrease their carbon capture. So that literally, so yes, you can put the trees back. I don't see the plan for putting the trees back. And also, there's only one metric for building anything, Eastside Park or anyplace else. What's the carbon budget? What's it going to cost you in carbon? And when are you going to get it back? And how soon are you planning to put it in place? No plan like that is, you know, I don't like to put people down, but that's irresponsible. Because you have to know how you're going to make the next steps. And I have never heard any of that. And I am around the Eastside now and again.
And trees clean the air, they clean the water, they do so many health benefits for people, for animals, you know, for the pets. If you're walking a dog, they'll gravitate to a tree, whether they need to lift a leg or not. It's a cleaner place to be.
It
and so they've made the air more hazardous when they cut down all those trees in the East River. And any place where they start cutting down trees, they are making your air dirtier.
Yeah, you know, even in an urban, you know, environment, the street trees just make the walking down the street feel better. People are more likely to stop and chat or look in a window, you know.
Tim, you talked a lot about that, about how trees just make us feel better, whether we're on a city street with a tree or if we're walking in the woods.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, there are all sorts of studies in terms of health benefits of being around, you know, in general, what we might term nature. But there are even studies showing that when children have a view outside a window that includes trees, they do better in school. The list of health benefits goes on, lower stress levels, lower incidence of upset in schools when kids have some trees around them or walk through a forested area on the way to school, etc. I'll just tell you very briefly my reason for getting involved in rainforest relief in the first place. Some years back, I guess I was probably 15 at the time, the forest that I would run off to, which was only two blocks away from my house, I spent, you know, a decade there learning all sorts of things about the natural world. I had my field guides with me every time I went there. And my first forays into wild edibles were there. My first experiences trying to be a nature photographer were there. And when I was 15, that forest was leveled for a housing project. And it affected me so much that I actually put it out of my mind and didn't remember it until I started rainforest relief. And somebody asked me once as we were walking through a forest area, giving a tour, why trees? And it came back and hit me, this horrific memory of walking into this clear-cut forest that I used to consider my second home. So, you know, these kinds of experiences with nature are incredibly life-affirming. They provide all sorts of health benefits, and it's just kind of a microcosm of some of the horrors that we go through in our urban lives with no access to these kinds of things. So when we do have access to some few trees, then to have them, you know, be cut down is really not the way to go necessarily.
Yeah. There's just so many benefits that we just take for granted. So many things in our life we take for granted.
And the health benefits studies that Tim was just talking about are linked on the Ecologic website, ecoradio.org. There's a bunch of them.
And so what about the economic benefits? I mean, we can talk about that all day long, too. Paul?
Well, you can couple those, actually. So it's just the what they do for the environment, as Tim describes, is demonstrable. By demonstrable, I mean you can basically measure it with relative simplicity. A wonderful study out of SUNY Syracuse, Novak, he showed basically that every square meter, this is radio, but I'm making a meter square, every square meter of leaves captures about a quarter gram of PM2.5 every year.
What's that mean?
PM 2.5 are these very beautiful small particles. They do look kind of neat under electron microscopy. They basically are murdering you every time you take a deep breath and fill them in, Ken. They're, the mortality, morbidity are directly coupled. When you see asthma, respiratory problems, basically those are caused by these, just like the coronavirus, they can get right into the alveoli and they basically coat it. And not to basically put down our history, but all of us have gray lungs because we have been inhaling these PM2.5 particles for our lifespans in the cities. You wouldn't, if you're in the country, you wouldn't, but here you do. And you wouldn't in the country, not because there's none made, but because you have immense sinks and everything sticks to leaves. So it's a power because it literally is either you are the filter, Ken, or I, or the tree. And that's the way it's over. They're in the air, and they're going to go someplace. So if you walk down a street and there's no trees there, or especially along the traffic corridor of the East River Drive, there's no trees, you're essentially guaranteeing, so to speak, that this PM2.5, some particulates from the roadway suspension, will get right into, well, the greatest inhaling bodies, the children running in the park. So.
Well, as usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up. Sorry, go so fast. But thanks for joining us, everybody. Now, for more information, you can find Paul Mankiewicz at leafisland.org. That's leafisland.org. And Tim Keating at earthbuilt.com. That's earthbuilt.com.
Mainstream media won't give you all this information. Their corporate profit interests will never give people like Paul and Tim a chance to share their information. That's why Ecologic and WBAI are so important. We need to exist.
And thanks to you, WBAI is catching up on our rent for the transmitter tower. But we need to get ahead so that we can concentrate on bringing you important news and information and entertainment.
Donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. Go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. Our rent is more than $17,000 every month. That's about $250,000 every year. So we need everybody. www.towerfund.wbai.org.
You can even donate in the name of Ecologic. Radio may seem free, but there are costs. And our listener-supported radio station needs to help people. It's on the air. Call
212-209-290. Oh, no, Sally, we're losing you.
Technical problems, but our listener-supported radio station needs you. Help keep us on the air. Call 212-209-2950 or go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Things are looking up for Pacifica and WBAI, so let's make a big effort to get this transmitter rent paid for. We need you.
Join us next Friday, January 14th at 2:30 p.m. for the latest on nuclear decommissioning and radioactive waste. To get environmental Go. All who share this thing. Okay. That's www.ecoradio.org.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
Those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us. Those of you on social media, look for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson, we couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gillard.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday, January 14th at 2:30 p.m. to hear about radioactive waste.
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. The three white men who chased and murdered Ahmaud Arbery are back in court at this hour, where they will learn whether they'll spend their lives in prison. Travis McMichael, Greg McMichael, and William Bryan were all convicted on felony murder charges for killing Ahmaud Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, as he was on a Sunday jog in their Georgia neighborhood in 2020. Prosecutors have said they will not seek the death penalty, so the three men all face a life sentence. The judge today will decide whether that comes with or without the possibility of parole after 30 years. The McMichaels and Bryan are also facing federal hate crime charges in a trial scheduled to begin February 7th. The parents of Ethan Crumbly are returning to court today to ask for a lower bail to get out of jail. The Crumblys are charged with involuntary manslaughter for the November 30th shooting at Oxford High School in Michigan, during which their son killed four teenagers and injured others. They're accused of making the gun accessible to Ethan, willfully ignoring his fascination with violence, and refusing to take him home when school counselors confronted them with a drawing made by Ethan the day of the shooting that showed a semi-automatic handgun pointing at the words, quote, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." Since December 4th, they have been held on $500,000 bond each following a manhunt that began when they failed to show up to court for their initial arraignment. Unable to meet a $500,000 bond, they are hoping a judge is willing to reduce it today to $100,000 each. The Supreme Court heard arguments today on President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine requirements for healthcare workers and businesses with at least 100 workers. The court is considering whether the Biden administration can enforce vaccine and testing rules for large private employers and a vaccine mandate for most healthcare workers. Biden's administration unveiled a series of mandates and rules in November. The measures were supposed to take effect on January 4th, but they have been put on hold while lower courts consider challenges by business and religious groups that argue they exceed the Biden administration's authority. Meanwhile, New York is joining a handful of states in requiring health care workers to get COVID-19 booster. Governor Kathy Hochul said today that she was expanding a vaccine mandate she instituted last fall, requiring health care workers to get vaccinated because too many breakthrough infections were being reported among healthcare workers. Hochul said under the new order, healthcare workers will be required to get their shots within 2 weeks of becoming eligible for a booster. The economy added just 199,000 jobs in December, according to the Department of Labor's monthly labor report today, ending the year with 2 months of declining levels of growth. The unemployment rate, which is calculated from different numbers, sank to 3.9% from 4.2% in November, nearing its low point of 3.5% in February 2020. Actor Sidney Poitier has died at the age of 94. His death was confirmed today by the Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas. He was the first black man to win the Best Oscar Award for his role in the 1963 movie Lilies of the Field. He played a visible role in the civil rights movement, and many of his films explored the racial tensions of the time. His many movies include To Sir With Love, In the Heat of the Night, A Raisin in the Sun, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Currently in Washington,